Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
4-year-old Charlie Garay and his 5-year-old brother were removed from the custody of their biological parents only to be put into the home of foster parents who went on to abuse them. In the home of Latricia and Daquan Green, they were subjected to horrific abuse that ultimately ended with the death of Charlie. Following his tragic death, both Daquan and Latricia denied any involvement. This is the horrific murder and torture of Charlie Garay. I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Today's case is a tough one. It's about child abuse and death. You know, I am completely committed to these cases based on the fact that I worked in safeguarding for nearly 2 decades. Child abuse, torture, murder is something that provokes a cerebral and visceral reaction in me that is so deep-rooted. I cannot help avoid doing these cases because they just mean so much to me, and we need to speak out about the domestic violence that children experience and endure, because children are dying in our society at a time where we are meant to be evolved, where we are meant to be people who protect the most vulnerable. And the reality is, it feels as if we are failing time and time and time again. I really hope that you stick around to listen to this case, because Charlie Garay's life meant something to me. It will mean something to you. It certainly meant something to the people who loved him. And whilst he was failed on multiple levels, at least the legacy that his loss can have may result in some changes. Because if ever there is a need for change in this world, it's where child abuse and death is concerned. So let's talk about this harrowing case. So on the 20th of December 2020, basically a 911 call is made. It's made from 2734 Broadway in Rotterdam. And basically, this call involves the report of a 4-year-old boy named Charlie, who's allegedly at this point in respiratory distress. So according to the person on the other end of the phone, they are saying that he's struggling to breathe and he's acting in a problematic manner that suggests that he needs emergency responders. Understandably, when it is a child who is in distress, you get a very quick result. So Rotterdam police, paramedics from Mohawk Ambulance Service, and also personnel from Rotterdam Fire District 2, they respond to the call. Now, when the emergency services arrive at the home, it's very clear from the get-go, this is incredibly serious. This gorgeous little boy is simply not breathing. So we've gone from a child allegedly in respiratory distress to a child essentially dead. Now, bear in mind, it is incredibly rare for children to die. It is incredibly rare for children to get into situations where they're struggling to breathe. And it's very rare that there isn't a very specific reason why those things have happened, should they happen. And if you were a primary caregiver and your child that you are looking after in that moment is enduring this kind of situation play out, it tends to be that you understand absolutely why this is playing out, and you inform those individuals who are trying to save the life of that child exactly what has played out to ensure that they have the best chance of survival. We're not going to hear about that in this case because, of course, we're dealing with another story where actually the people who are meant to protect are the people who have been the problem all the while, and the only skin that they care to save in this case is their own. So the paramedics, they attempt to revive him. They're using all the life-saving measures that they can. And bear in mind, for paramedics and first responders who are dealing with a child in such a horrendous situation, it is traumatic. It doesn't matter how many lives you save, how heroic you are, how courageous you are as a human being, it is not expected in life to see the most vulnerable, the youngest in our generation, die. Because we expect children to live. It's as simple as that. So this is not something that first responders are always seeing on a day-to-day basis. Yes, they'll have more experience of it than you or I, if you're somebody who doesn't, like I, work in that particular field. But nonetheless, it's highly traumatic to turn up to a situation where a child is not breathing. Now, even though they do their best, they can't save him. It's obvious from the get-go that he's either been dead already, or he was so close to death that as they arrived, there was nothing they could do, and he ends up being pronounced dead at Ellis Hospital. Now, his foster father, Daquan Green, he basically explains that the reason that Charlie was in distress is because, and again, this is mind-blowing when you consider what I'll tell you later down the line about Charlie's injuries, but allegedly, Charlie had fallen out of a child's chair. Now, we all have had experiences of being in school when we're little kids. We know those small chairs, they're the awkward ones that when you take children to their parents' evenings, when they're like 5, 6, 7 years of age, you have to often sit on those tiny chairs and you think, how did these ever really feel comfortable? But it was because you had very little legs and arms. You were a child. We all know that a child's chair is not tantamount to causing a major amount of injury. Children sit on them all the time. They don't fall off and die. So there is no way from a height level that any injury sustained is going to be enough to kill the child. But this is what he says. So after he's apparently fell out of this chair, that's a child's chair, he begins to really struggle with his speech, he's slurring it, and then he just passes out. So again, he's either indicating that something has happened event-wise that has made him fall out of his chair and slur his speech and then pass out, or he's trying to formulate a story where the actual falling onto the floor from the chair was enough to cause this. But he doesn't stick to the same story. So Green then goes on to tell others that Charlie had choked. Now, again, if you are looking after a child and that child happens to get something lodged in their throat, they're not going to just be sitting on a chair managing the situation by themselves. Anybody who has ever had something stuck in their throat, even for a minute, when they can just breathe anyway, it is distressing and scary. And if you are dealing with a circumstance where a child has actually got an obstruction in their throat, you are going to see that child struggling, hear that child struggling. The child is going to alert you. They are going to be in distress. So if he has watched this child choke and he's telling certain people that that's the case, why isn't he immediately trying to do things to dislodge whatever it is that is obstructing his airway? So it's not making sense from the get-go, and immediately that's going to provoke a huge amount of suspicion onto Green, and it should, let's be honest. Because to add insult to injury regarding this horrendous situation playing out.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Out instead of Green calling 911, which any sane person would do if you have a child in respiratory distress, or you think they might have choked, or they fell off a chair and are now slurring their words to the point where they're passed out, you're going to be on the phone screaming to 911 or whatever the emergency responders number is in your country and saying, please come and help. My child is in a position where I'm really concerned about their safety. But that doesn't occur. Green decides he could call 911, but why do that when he can call his wife? Oh, she is out shopping, so at the end of the day, He may as well just call her and have a chat because she's going to be able to save this little boy's life from a distance, isn't she? And then she actually comes home. So not only do they have a conversation about the fact that Charlie is in great distress or even worse, he waits until she comes home. Just waits till she's finished shopping. And then at that point, they make the 911 call and she's the one who actually does that. So they have taken an inordinate amount of time to actually call the people who could have saved Charlie. And why would you do that? If you've got nothing to hide, the first person you're going to call is a medical professional. So immediately we're drawn into this narrative that they're trying to cover up something. We don't know what it is, but they have to be trying to cover something up because otherwise they would have been on the phone to emergency services. Now, after Charlie is incredibly sadly pronounced dead at the hospital, police go and speak to Latricia. Latricia had basically texted her husband from the hospital where all this is kicking off, where the reality is that this beautiful little boy, this gorgeous little boy, has died. She's not texting people at this point to say, oh my God, I cannot believe it. This child that I've had in my care for 3 months, a child I've built this huge relationship with, a child that I care for as they are my own because I'm a foster parent. My child has died. What has happened? You know, you might be texting and calling about the horror because you might want to share the story and get some support. The last thing you are likely to be doing when you are dealing with the fallout and collateral of this reality is texting your husband from the hospital just after you've spoken to the police about Charlie's death, requesting that he cleans the house. Nobody on God's earth in such a traumatic scenario is really thinking about anything other than what the hell's happened? What do I need to know about this situation further? What potentially have I contributed towards this? And who do I need to speak to figure out what the hell has contributed to Charlie's death? Because that's the only thing you're going to want to know. The fact that she ultimately in that moment doesn't have any of those feelings, the only feeling she has is, I need my husband to make sure that the house is clean. Well, we can think about a lot of reasons why you do that. And it's not because she wants the police and investigators to walk into a tidy place to think that she's good as a human being at keeping her stuff together. She's going to be doing that because it means there is an opportunity to make sure that anything that shouldn't be there, anything that's untoward, anything that could indicate abuse has happened, it just isn't going to be present. It gives an opportunity for the crime scene to essentially be cleansed, to distort or deflect the investigation. And that in itself is understandably an offence. But also, why does she wish to do that? What does she know about what has played out that means that she feels that's the correct action? That's a premeditated move on her part. And if she's done nothing wrong, or there's nothing that the couple have done wrong, then they wouldn't need to do any of that. In fact, they would be opening their home and their arms to the investigators to try to figure out what on earth has happened to Charlie. Now, as I've introduced the fact that this little gorgeous kid is now dead, let's just talk a little bit about this beautiful boy, Charlie Garrett. He was 4. He was 4 years of age when he died. Now, anybody who's had any privilege of being around 4-year-old children know that they are at a beautiful stage in their lives. Everything is exciting. They play all the time. They laugh louder than you'll ever hear anybody laugh. All they want is your attention. They want to spend time with you. They want to be in your presence. It takes very little to amuse them. They basically become your partner in crime when you're a parent because they just like being around. You are enough. And Charlie Garrett is at this point in time. So tending to him, in spite of the fact that understandably there'll be attachment issues, abandonment issues, because he's in foster care, nonetheless, he's still going to have all those beautiful traits that I've just described. And also, he is with his brother. So his 5-year-old brother was also fostered by Daquan and Latricia Green. So both of them are together, which means there is a unified front regarding the siblings. There is an opportunity for them to stay together and play together. And ultimately, that is likely to make the lives of the Greens easier because they have a playmate. And bear in mind, Daquan and Latricia Green are actually individuals that have their own children. So they should, to all intents and purposes, know what this stage is like and embrace it. They had essentially become foster parents of Charlie and his five-year-old brother in September 2020. The brothers had been removed from the custody of their biological parents by the order of the Albany Family Court. They had basically been placed in the Green's home by Child Protective Services. Now, we all appreciate that children at times are removed from their blood family. It happens. It's sad, but unfortunately, that's why the system exists, because children need it. And the fact that they're placed in a sibling group is excellent. You don't want to separate siblings, particularly at such a fundamentally young age. And when you have a family who actually want to take sibling groups, they are obviously going to be high priority on lists because of the fact that you will open your home to more than one child. So to all intents and purposes, sending a sibling group to a family should signify and symbolise something really positive. We're keeping a unit together. But we also have to understand that when a sibling unit is sent to a new home, we should understand that they will be bringing a level of baggage to the family. Because firstly, for a 4 and 5 year old to be removed from their biological parents or parent, it's distressing. Even if they've not been in the best of circumstances, even when children have been abused in family homes, it's their familiarity, it's their security, it's their experience. It might not be a foundation that you or I would recognise as secure and foundation-based, but for them, it's all they've ever known. So understandably, there is going to be a level of trauma, and it's your job as foster parents to use your professionalism and your skill to make those children feel safe, secure, cared for. You might not be at a point where you can love them because you have to forge a relationship with them, but ultimately to get to a point where that child grows, or those children grow into a space where they feel totally accepted, totally understood, and very secure. You are countering all those attachment and abandonment issues that they have been gathering since the problematic experiences at home have developed, and also since their ceasing at their home address has begun. And you are taking all of that on, and hopefully wrapping them and cradling them in this consistency and security so that they can learn to thrive. That's the ideal. But clearly, I'm talking about this case today because that's literally as far away from what plays out as could ever be. Now, as I said, they were only in Green's care for about 3 months before Charlie's death, which is harrowing beyond belief. It really is. I mean, we're talking 12 weeks. These individuals literally took two children in and murdered one of them in a torturous way within 12 weeks. Now, the Greens, as I said, they lived in Rotterdam, Schenectady County in New York. Dequan Green was ironically an ordained minister, also apparently a community activist in the area. You know what really intrigues me about the psychology of these kind of individuals? You know, a lot of people are like, oh, he's an ordained minister and he's really active as a community activist in the area. You know, he's one of those real good guys. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes people who are ministers, sometimes people who are really active in the local community are good guys. But sometimes they're just wearing a mask of acceptability because they like the power. You know, think about it. Being a minister, you have a level of power in your community. People look at you, respect you. You don't really have to do that much, actually, to gain their respect because they think that you're on the side of the big G-O-D. And who questions the big G-O-D if you have a religious inclination? So that gives you a really positive opportunity to exploit people should you wish to, because you have that level of power. And also, if you've got a massive ego, it speaks to that ego. And Dequan Green is somebody who has a massive ego. He is egocentric to the core. And also, the fact that he's a community activist, well, a lot of Machiavellian, narcissistic psychopaths like to be involved in that, you know, throwing it out there, think of a few politicians that fit that description. Why are they doing it? Well, it's not for the common good, is it? It's because they like the power, they like the reputation, they like people respecting them even when they don't deserve that respect. So it's very easy to actually get mistaken into believing that these human beings who are amongst us in these positions are good, when actually all they are is power-hungry narcissists. And even though he's well-known in his community, who cares? So was Jim Jones, and we all know what happened in the People's Temple. So arguably, that is not enough to say somebody is a good person. And also, people said, well, you know what? He'd always been good with children before. You know, it's not like there were any warning signs. But again, How often do we hear about pedophiles and child torturers and sadistic child killers who were seen to be beacons of light in their local community, always great with their children? You just didn't know they were molesting them on the down low. You only find that out when something terrible happens. It's very easy for adults like Green to disguise themselves and seemingly be a good person. But it's very clear that Green has never been a good person. Green has always been wearing a mask, and that mask slips in this case on the most grotesque of levels. Now, he was married to Latricia Green, and she actually ironically managed Ebenezer's Dream Care Centre in Glenville. I would say the only thing that resonates with me there is the fact that it's called Ebenezer. And I think
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
About Ebenezer Scrooge, but not at the end of the story where it all works out in A Christmas Carol, just all the rest of the way through it, where he's just a narky, nasty guy who basically nobody likes. So I guess that if it's named after him, it makes sense. But basically, she runs this and it provides drop-in childcare services, also operates a preschool academy, so it's going to be busy because parents need those services and parents are working long hours, so this offers an opportunity for them to be dropped off there. They also had 3 biological children. They were all girls, ranging from infancy to 5. Note, there is a gender difference here. We're talking about 2 boys who are the foster children who end up in a torturous situation. It is possible that certain predators feel more legitimized and permission-based harming a particular gender within their lives. I'm not saying that girls hadn't themselves endured abuse at the hands of their parents. I'm saying that when it comes down to Green and interning his torturous, painful aggression onto the little boys, well, they are distinct from the little girls that he's brought up, so there is a difference there. Now, both of the Greens have been certified as foster parents by the Schenectady County Department of Social Services, and they had actually only fostered 1 child for 1 day before they got to foster Charlie and his brother, which, I'm going to throw it out there, seems a little bit ludicrous. You know, I get that the foster system, it's the same in the UK, has a lot of children that need placing, and sibling groups are very difficult at times to place because people don't necessarily have the space for 2 children or 3 children, etc. And that can mean that maybe certain tick boxes don't actually occur, but they should, because there is nothing more important than the protection of children. This couple have had, yes, 3 children of their own, and to all intents and purposes, social services are probably looking at them and thinking, you know what? They've done an okay job, if they've even bothered to do that. But what we're looking at here is they've had no sustained period of looking after a sibling group or even 1 child. So they are an unknown quantity. Listen, you can pass foster training. It's not the most challenging thing to pass. No disrespect to anybody out there who's done it, but believe me, I know it well. And you can pass if you wish to pass relatively easily. The hard work begins when you have a child placed with you because it changes the dynamic of your home and family, and it doesn't always work out. And there are those foster carers who are motivated by vocation and love and care and compassion, and I would say that they are the best of the best. And there are many motivated by money, and I would say that it's deeply questionable when somebody chooses to do foster care just for the money, because realistically, no amount of money is going to be enough to do the work that you need to do to really make a difference to these children's lives. What they need is somebody who is pure and vocational and desperate to change the child's life for the best, not somebody who cares about the bank balance. I know money is important, by the way. People deserve remuneration for what they do in the foster system, but that should not be their primary motivation. Now, following Charlie's death, obviously, there is an issue because child services are looking now and thinking, wow, this is probably not the most safe environment. We have a child who's deceased, so they do actually remove his surviving older brother from the Greens home. He is then taken to Albany Medical Center, and then they have to treat that gorgeous little boy for his own injuries. And there are lots of injuries. So those injuries that they noted on that day included bruises, but also abrasions and a torn frenulum. So clearly, something terrible has been happening at the Greens' home. And this little boy is evident of that. Forget the fact that his brother is now dead. There's enough on his body to have had himself and his brother removed from the Greens' care if anybody had actually been doing the work and looking in. No foster child should be ending up with a torn frenulum and all these bruises and abrasions. It's despicable and it's real and it happened to these children. So basically, he died as a result of these extensive internal injuries, both to his liver, his intestines, and they said that that was caused by blunt force trauma. When they actually did the autopsy, it determined that Charlie's manner of death was homicide. He was murdered. There's no doubt whatsoever in their mind. They know he was killed. On the 21st of January 2021, at this point, Green is taken into custody. There was an arrest warrant put out for him because obviously now it's been ruled a homicide. And he's actually arrested for second degree murder for intentionally causing the death of Charlie. I do not really understand why they didn't go for first degree. I appreciate the sentences for second degree can be very long. And I can also understand that what they're probably trying to do there is to get him to say, well, yeah, I did cause his death, and therefore make sure that that conviction is confirmed. And I also appreciate that with first degree, you need to essentially show intent. But when I talk about the injuries this little boy sustained, I just cannot compute why they didn't go for first degree, genuinely. I think if something is protracted, premeditated, sustained, and has a possibility of causing death, there is absolute intention there. And it doesn't matter whether it happens on that day or the next week. The point is, all of the ingredients were there for a child to be killed. He's also indicted with a second class A1 felony of murder in the second degree for being 18 or more and acting with depraved indifference to human life whilst recklessly engaging in conduct which created a grave risk of serious physical injury to a person less than 11 years old, thereby causing the death of a child. He was also charged with a class B violent felony of manslaughter in the first degree for being 18 or more and with intent to cause physical injury to a child less than 11. Recklessly engaged in conduct which created a grave risk of serious physical injury to that child and thereby caused his death. He was also charged with a class D violent felony of assault in the second degree, again for being 18 or more and intentionally causing physical injury to a person less than 7 years old for Charlie's 5-year-old brother. He was also charged with 2 misdemeanor counts of endangering the welfare of a child for Charlie's 5-year-old brother. And for all of that, he entered a not guilty plea. A not guilty plea. Because you know how it is. You know how it is. These kids, they just fall off chairs or they just choke. And even though there's no evidence that the child choked and there's clearly no evidence that the injury was sustained by the child falling off a small child's chair, apparently, even though the injuries that this child sustained were a bit like car crash injuries at high speed, yeah, it's completely not his fault. Even though he was the only one present when all of this was happening, it's not his fault. Who knows? Maybe when Green was out of the room, Charlie was just standing on the chair, throwing himself off, throwing himself into the wall, throwing himself out of a window, crawling back in, sitting on a chair, falling off the chair, throwing himself out of the window, because that's the kind of stuff that would have needed to be going on for Charlie to end up with the horrific injuries that we're talking about today. But again, somebody like Green, This is the guy who's active in the community, who he's a minister. Therefore, he probably thinks there's going to be loads of people singing his praises. And no one's going to believe that he could possibly do this. But you know what usurps the reputation of a minister or a community activist? Child murder. We really don't care what your position is. We don't care if you're a king or a pauper. The point is that there is a dead child injured in the most heinous of ways. It's really not going to matter who you are or how rich you are. The truth is, no one cares about your position. Everyone cares about the child's demise. And in this case, we're talking about a demise that is so grave and so grotesque that literally the only person that's going to truly judge this human being is the devil himself. So he enters a not guilty plea, which means that obviously a jury is going to have to sit there and manage the trauma of being exposed to what happened to that gorgeous little boy, Charlie. He's taken to the Schenectady County Correctional Facility. At this point, Latricia Green, well, she's also arrested. She's actually charged on the felony of tampering with physical evidence. Bear in mind, that comes down to the fact that from the hospital, when she should have been grieving the loss of Charlie, instead she's texting him, instructing him to make sure that the house is neat and tidy. And also she was charged with a misdemeanor of endangering the welfare of a child regarding Charlie. I think she's getting off light there. Can we all be honest about what she did? She got a phone call off Green telling her what a grave state Charlie was in. Did she say, right, immediately call 911? No. She came home to inspect the situation and then she called 911. So she is so highly and criminally neglectful. She's contributed to that little boy's death, as far as I am concerned. Or she knows that he was dead already. Therefore, she is trying to protect the perpetrator, the murderer in this case, which means that she is a co-conspirator at every single level and she should be judged in the highest court at the highest level. Now she gets processed on these charges. She's then released because one imagines they don't feel that she's an imminent risk to anybody else. Although once again, why would we take a chance with somebody with this kind of action? But this is what plays out. Understandably, another action that takes place, another repercussion of the Greens' actions, are that their biological children were removed from their care by the order of the family court. And I suppose that some people might find that strange because Latricia Green isn't being charged with these very grave actions that her husband is being charged with. And to all intents and purposes, there doesn't seem to have been any prior abuse towards the girls from her position. But nonetheless, they have to make sure that those children are safe. And they don't believe that Latricia Green is going to provide that safe experience. In fact, they found that their safety would be an imminent risk of harm if they were not removed from her care. So again, even though there hasn't apparently been any prior abuse, well, the very fact that the courts look at these children and think that they're at imminent risk if they are left in the ward of the mother, that speaks volumes to me. That speaks volumes that maybe what's happening there is they are looking and listening to those children for the first time, and there is enough information and evidence that they garner from those children that they decide that it's simply not safe for them to be at home. And it really does feel blindsiding to me that not only do these people make it through the foster training situation and protocol, somehow they get to get children placed with them and seemingly don't have the monitoring that should be required early on when it comes down to monitoring what's happening in the homes of these foster parents when they are actually looking after children that have been given to them to protect. Surely from the get-go, there should be a really intensive monitoring, and that just doesn't happen. It hasn't happened here. It obviously hasn't happened prior to this situation with Charlie because clearly the courts are concerned about the safety of their children and are removing them from the care because there is enough evidence to suggest that it's not a safe environment, and not just to do with this event. There has to have been more. It's likely that, like I said, they garnered more information from those children. Now, according to the DA's office, heartbreakingly, both Charlie and his older brother were literally subjected to horrific abuse whilst they were in the alleged care of the Greens. Now, this abuse was harrowing. It really is. Strap in, guys, because it is genuinely heartbreaking. Look, we're talking about a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old child. Now, I know that we have scenarios in our lives where we can all relate to the psychological and emotional disturbances we experience when our children fail to behave how we wish for them to behave. It can be really upsetting. Some parents really do go through terrible times with their children, particularly as they move into teenage years when they want to be themselves and they want to push boundaries. And sometimes they can get very aggressive and suddenly they've got big bodies which they're acting out within, and it can be scary. But with a 4 and 5 year old child, there is very little that they can do to cause stress unless you decide to seep it all in and internalize it. For the most part, 4 and 5 year old boys and girls, they just need feeding nice food. They need to be active. They need to be able to play. They need to be outside exercising and have an activity. They need to be able to sit down and cuddle up and watch nice movies. They need to just be cared for. That is very much the extent of what these children require. And having worked for 2 decades with young people, I guarantee that I have worked with 4 and 5 year olds with behavioral difficulties, and I've worked with 14 and 15 year olds with them. And believe me, the 4 and 5 year olds are very easy to manage in comparison. So the very fact that they've been presented with these children who need care and nurture, and instead they're being torturous towards them, speaks volumes about the mindset of the predators that they were placed with. It's as simple as that. And they include both the Greens in that description. So the abuse includes forcing the boys to sit in wooden chairs for lengthy periods of times, and if they dared, so much as dared to fall asleep, which they would do, because they're babies. They're little babies. They're 4 and 5 years of age. Of course, they're going to fall asleep, and they're going to fall asleep for a range of reasons. Number one, exhaustion. You stick a child in a chair, they're not allowed to move, they're not allowed to do anything. A few things are going to interplay. First of all, you'll have the traumatic response. It's unnatural to sit in the chair. They'll be afraid. They'll be anxious. They'll be stressed. And then what will happen is the child's brain will become overwhelmed with all of those feelings, and it will shut down. And part of that shutting down process is a protective mechanism, and that will result at times in sleep, because the body and the brain is connected in a way that is trying to protect the essential core of that child's personality. They don't want the child as entities within the same system, even though we're talking about one body, there are all these things that interplay in the psychological, physical, and social and emotional experience. That child's body starts to shut down to protect the child themselves. Falling asleep, yes, from exhaustion because of all those feelings, is also a way of escaping, but that's denied. So as soon as they go through that natural process and they're exhausted and they're also dealing with a stress response, they actually throw water on their faces, so they wake them up. So imagine how terrified they'll be. They'll not even be able to escape into that mechanism of sleep to protect themselves from what's happening. No, they just get themselves covered in water by these predators that are meant to care for them. Also, the boys are punished for bedwetting, and the punishment for that is cold showers. Now, anybody who's had a child will know this, but for those of you who have not yet had children, what we see with children who have had traumatic experiences in their lives is often they will not be as dry as children who have had lives that have been privileged and loved. So a child who goes through abandonment and attachment issues, they're far more likely to be bedwetters. They're far more likely to not be able to control their bladder in the way that a child would in a different situation where they're thriving. And also, even when a child is dry and they've been able to use the toilet and not bedwet for long periods of time, if they go through a period where they transition, such as being moved to foster care, being removed from your parents, that's a trauma response. And as a trauma response, one of the protective mechanisms we see within children is they regress. They go back to more of a childlike state. And part of that is because there is a desperate desire to be cared for again. So the regression is something that takes them back to a place and time where they needed somebody to protect them and love them and care for them as they should have been. So it's a symptomatic experience, hoping for a response where a protective individual will come in and do what that young child who they've regressed to requires. But that's not what happens in abusive situations. Instead, they're met with this horrific punishment. And indeed, in this circumstance, that's what happens. They get cold showers, which will just add to their trauma response and exacerbate these behaviours. Also, they were required to perform wall sits for extended periods of time, which is going to be horrific. Imagine that, just like sat against the wall with your arms up and like bending down with your knees out and just using the wall in that situation in some kind of weird, torturous squat. And you've got to stay like that for ages. They were doing that to them. They also were literally covered from head to toe in bruises. So they were getting beaten from head to toe constantly. And it seems as if Latricia Green knew that her husband was doing this to the children. And even though she knew that he was an absolute danger to the children, she hid that abuse from the services who could have helped them. In fact, she went so far as to tell the services that she and her husband were in quarantine because of the COVID-19 pandemic. One of the reasons I was so massively outspoken during COVID was that you don't lock predators up with children. You don't do it. It increases stress and it means that they're going to be more likely to be violently abusive. Also, it gave so many people an opportunity to do horrific things to people they were going to protect because they could just say, oh, I've got a quarantine and everybody stayed away because you know what? People were lazy. Sorry, I'm going to say it. It's true. So many services saw it as an opportunity to just not do the work that they are paid to do. I'm not talking about those who were furloughed. I'm talking about those who were meant to do it. And a lot of you have got in contact with me and said that you had to sit in those departments and had to watch as people who they knew should have been doing a job of protection were failing to do so by just accepting these excuses again and again of somebody being in quarantine because they had COVID again and again. There were people who would have COVID 12 times. And obviously, that wasn't real. Your natural antibodies couldn't allow that to be.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
But nonetheless, that excuse was constantly peddled, and it's been devastating when it comes down to child injury and death. So Green's telling this lie. The services are accepting it. She also would go on to say that the children had fevers, and she said that she just didn't want them to come round because of this. So that meant that the social workers didn't come and see the boys. And this was for long extended periods of time whilst they were under the care of the Greens. But let's be real, that period of time was 3 months. So I'm going to assume that they didn't really see those boys at all. Because if they didn't see them for extended periods, well, 12 weeks, it's not very long in my mind anyway. It just seems to me that the boys were placed and then they walked away. Now, following the removal of Green's biological children, Latricia Green actually testified in family court proceedings because she wanted them back. She wanted to regain custody of her children. And during this particular trial, which is obviously separate to criminal, we're talking about child and family court here. So during this trial, she just lies. Now, bear in mind, if you are trying to suggest that you were a good primary caregiver, when the family courts are deeply concerned about whether you should have the right to ever have the privilege of caring for your children again, the one thing you're going to know is not to lie. If you're a good human being, if you have any ounce of decency within your entire body, within your entire psyche, you're going to stick to telling the truth because that's the only thing to do. You don't want to give any more license to the courts to think that you're a miserable, disgusting, despicable liar and heinous human who's been responsible for contributing to the death of a beautiful boy. You're not going to want to do that. But Latricia Green didn't get that memo. So during the trial, she falsely testifies. She actually tries to mislead the court to obtain custody of her biological children. She says that her husband had never caused bruising to either of the foster children. Never. So he'd never been involved in that at all, even though a child's dead. And she also claimed that she never sent her husband a text message that said, "No more bruises, we need them to heal." Now, I don't know about you guys, but at that point, I'm like, throw away the key. No more bruises, we need them to heal. So she is texting her husband, who is being violently abusive and torturous to these boys, and she's telling him, back off a bit, we just need those bruises to heal. We don't even know whether she was doing it as well, because to some degree, she's complicit. She's more than happy to have those children abused as long as they give them time to heal. Because clearly the bodies of the boys are starting to look broken and bruised. And that means that if social services come round and start looking at them, and as things were working towards a time where people were starting to move about again with COVID, then the chances are that you're going to have people visiting, and that's a problem. So no more bruises, we need them to heal. It's insane that any human being, any mother who has held three of her own biological babies in her arms could ever see fit to allow the man that she's married to knowingly be abusing the children that they're meant to care for, and to stand there and not to be angry with him, not to call the police on him, not to tell social services about him, but instead to try to protect him by telling him, let's just stop beating the kids, essentially. You are everything that is wrong in this world. She should pick up the phone and she should tell the truth about the type of human being that Green actually is. And he is a torturous sadist. He is a man who is not safe to be around anyone, let alone two vulnerable young boys who just needed his care and support. That is what is so breathtakingly sad about this. Now, during Green's trial, because as we know, he's gone not guilty because he believes that somehow he can outsmart the prosecutors. The prosecutors say that he knowingly and repeatedly physically abused Charlie and his brother. The prosecutors went on to say that he had caused Charlie's death by stomping on the boy's chest. And the reason for that is because of those extensive and terrifying internal injuries to his liver and to his intestines. They actually claimed that Green had severely lacerated the boy's liver, had also caused those other internal injuries, and said that it would have killed him within minutes. And just to put it in context, guys, Charlie's spleen had been ripped in half. Ripped in half. Honestly, the violence that is provoked within me when I say those words is just so palpable. This was a little four-year-old boy. Imagine taking your foot as a grown-ass man and stamping on the child so hard that you rupture vital organs and that child dies agonizingly because of your actions. How do you get to breathe another second on this planet when you are capable of such heinous aggression and murder? It is mind-blowing to me. And as a mother, forget as a professional, forget as somebody who's worked in child protection for 2 decades, forget all of that. All I feel is a primal connection with care and nurture of children and the abandonment of such care and nurture by this kind of monster. The prosecution then claimed that Green had basically attempted to cover up the murder because he hadn't called 911, and that he'd just made up this pack of lies about his foster son stopping breathing or maybe choking. The prosecution said this is not a case of a person caught up in anger or rage or someone who snapped and hurt someone. This was a whole day of abuse. This man should not get credit for the fact his only conviction is murdering a child. Because bear in mind, when there's mitigating factors and aggravating factors, they look at these things, and one of the mitigating factors in this situation would be that Green was an upstanding community member and a minister and hadn't actually got a prior record. But they're absolutely right as a prosecution. Like, okay, you might not have a prior record, but if your first notable offence is you murder and torture a kid, then you should be served with this most serious of sentences. It's as simple as that. Now, bear in mind, of course, Green maintained that he's innocent, that this is all a big accident and misunderstanding, and he genuinely plays that part. You can see him. You can watch him in court, like, calculating the look. How am I meant to look? I'll look really sad, etc., etc. Now, I don't know about you guys either. And again, everyone reacts differently. It's a subjective experience, but let's go for a stereotype. Let's go for a stereotype psychologically and the expected reaction of somebody who's innocent, who's being tried for something like this. You don't look sad. You don't look sad. You look absolutely confused and annoyed and aggravated and frustrated and angry, maybe even rageful, because how dare anyone suggest that you are guilty of killing a child or torturing a child? You don't look, oh, I look really sad. Everybody feels sorry for me. No one feels sorry for you because it's obvious you did it. But if you were going to have a range of emotions, the range of emotions that we'd expect is to look like you are in disbelief. What the hell is going on? How could anybody believe that I am capable of this? And what is unbelievable to me about this is there must be a point where Green genuinely does think that there is a chance that he can get away with this, that, you know, somebody's going to buy into the fact that he's, you know, a good guy and that he wouldn't be the kind of person who'd go around killing children. And it's just been all grand misunderstanding. Because again, the egocentricity there is enormous. It's all about him. He genuinely feels like there is a chance that people will buy into his innocence in spite of the gravity of the injuries that I've described. It's obvious that he's done it. But he's playing that role, just like he'll have played the role of the minister and the community activist. But the thing is, with an ordinary group of human beings in a jury selected to actually care about Charlie and his death, they don't listen to who Green was. They listen to who he's become and they look at the evidence duly to come up with a conclusion regarding innocence and guilt. And the truth is, it was very easy. They found him guilty of second degree murder and first degree manslaughter in the death of 4-year-old Charlie Garay in 2020. He was also found guilty of 2 misdemeanor counts of endangering the welfare of a child for his abuse of Charlie's brother. That was between the date of their placement in the Greens' home, which was the 25th of September 2020, and Charlie's death on the 20th of December 2020. Now, wow, when it came down to his sentencing hearing, the judge, I kind of feel like he's in my perfect judge category. You know, when you're like, who do I want to judge these kind of offenders? Do I want somebody who like is a lenient kind of person? Do I want somebody who's quite liberal? Or do I want somebody who, if they had an opportunity, would just press a button and the guy would just, I don't know, evaporate on the spot or maybe liquidize? I don't know, a selection of opportunities that judge might unleash. And I kind of feel like this judge is somebody who would feel accordingly that that was an appropriate course of action because he unleashed himself on Green. And bear in mind, there is nothing more upsetting for a judge than somebody being found guilty, obviously guilty as well. So somebody who has been found guilty because it's clear that the only thing was missing was he was wearing a sticker saying, I did this, and yet that person still refuses to accept it. So he's still protesting that I'm innocent, I've done nothing wrong after he's been found guilty. He actually claimed he was not a murderer and suggested that Charlie's death was an accident. You know, an accident, because we've all been there. I mean, we've all been there in circumstances where you're just going about your business, you're just going around doing your normal parental activities, and then all of a sudden, you just stamp on your kid's chest and rupture their spleen and kill them. If that isn't happening in 97% of households on a week, every week, I don't know what's happening. Genuinely, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. It's just an accident. What kind of accident? He just fell off a chair. Where was the chair?
It was on top of the roof, precariously balanced. I'd just put it there and him on it and said, you just sit there and hope that nothing bad happens. And then he just had a really bad accident and fell 15 stories.
That's the kind of accident we'd be talking about. And even then it would be premeditated. And even then, if you put it into the context of this, that you're in a situation in a home where you are neglecting your child to the degree where they can have such a serious accident they can die, you'd still be obviously facing criminally negligent charges of child abuse because you had failed to protect them. This guy is a wrong un from start to finish. We know that he is absolutely guilty of what I've described so far. He's a murderer at full stop. But the very fact that he still tries to act like he's innocent of everything, whatever, even at the very end, he doesn't concede to at any point say, you know what, I made some mistakes. I should have protected this child more. I realise now that some of my actions on that day were neglectful. He doesn't even do that. He doesn't even try to mitigate some of the actions by saying, oh, I take responsibility for some of this, just not all of this. He doesn't do that. He's just like, I'm innocent. I'm just innocent. The judge, because of this, wow, just totally upset, lost his composure in the courtroom. You know what's really weird? It's some really, I would say, and I don't mean this in a negative way, guys, please don't feel I'm being political here, but as a human being, I'm a relatively liberal human being, but I'm not somebody who's like deeply left at all because I think that any extreme is crazy. Genuinely, I just think like most of us just have common sense and logic, and that's where everything comes together. That's where we are kind to one another. That's where we're not racist, homophobic, etc. We're just people who've got logic and common sense and we're just kind. But equally, I know that there are certain individuals who have these really extreme views, and it would be more left-leaning views that I'm talking about in this context, when a judge dares to be human and they're like, it was so unprofessional. It was so unprofessional. This judge is meant to act in a respectful way in accordance with the word and letter of the law, and he acted like a human. We cannot have these judges acting like a human. I would like them to act more human a lot of the time, because you know what? That's what we expect in humans. But basically, there's been some write-ups about this person and they've not been that positive. I disagree with them completely, because this guy was just real and he made me feel like that little boy had infinite meaning in this world and that little boy deserved justice. And I just find that alluring and beautiful, I genuinely do. So the judge said, I don't know what dimension you're even in, but it's fine. It's fine if you want to keep playing games. You'll be playing them for the rest of your life. I've got no doubt on this case. This one ain't coming back on appeal, I'll tell you that, no doubt. The judge labelled Green a sociopath, an absolute sociopath. We can all agree. Psychopath, sociopath, use it as you wish. Was he born? Was he created? Who cares? He's a sociopath. Simple as that.
You are. Not only are you a murderer, but you're a sociopath. That's what you are. Absolute sociopath. You're going to go up here and try to talk to me? Listen, you're not chit-chatting with the RPD in your living room trying to bullshit.
Now, that particular video of him doing that understandably went viral online because good people are out there everywhere. The vast majority of people are good. Everyone coming to my channel watching this case, it's because you're good. It's because you care about justice. It's because you are absolutely invested in children being safeguarded. You can't stand it when people get away with these heinous crimes. You refuse to accept it. And when somebody finally gets held to account, and when a judge finally speaks the truth as a human being feels it, it just absolutely sets the world on fire. And it did. His TikTok video gained nearly 500,000 likes for how the judge was delivering that message. And that's also because young people, because I appreciate that different platforms have different audiences. And of course, TikTok is more of a young person's audience. I know loads of people are like, what are you on about, Emma? I've got 6 million people who follow me on TikTok and I get it. There are people of 55, 65 who do really well as well. But I'm saying for the most part, it's a younger person's channel. And young people are demanding change in lots of different ways. And ultimately, one of the things that will probably feel very non-relatable is the antiquated systems of the legal situations that we see play out again and again and again. And for many young people, they want more of an instant justice karma situation because immediacy has become part of their experience psychologically because of things like social media. So when you see something so brutally, beautifully, and passionately delivered as that judge did, it just speaks to so many of us. We get to the 6th of December 2022. At this point, Green sentenced to 25 years to life behind bars. Now, I don't think that's long enough if he gets 25 years. But, you know, strong possibility he won't get parole. Strong possibility. At the end of the day, there's a strong possibility that that judge is right in the assumption that it's not going to be very nice for him for the rest of his life. He was also sentenced to lesser sentences to be served concurrently before sending him to the actual prison as well that he was going to be sent to. The judge told him, you're going to go there and everyone is going to know you're a baby killer. Good luck with that. He basically was saying he's going to a maximum security and all of the guys in that maximum security are going to know he killed a baby.
You're going max. You know that, right? We're going to classify you max. All right, and you're gonna go there, and everyone's gonna know. Baby killer. Good luck with that.
And look.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Everyone is in maximum security prison because he did something really bad, apart from those who were innocent, and there are definitely some of those there as well. But for the most part, people who are guilty, who end up in max, who've done horrible things to children, they're the lowest of the low. They are the worst of the worst because even though these guys in max have done bad things and done terrible things, they see that there are boundaries around criminality. And one of those boundaries is you don't hurt babies. You just don't do it. And if you do, you are the lowest of the low. Sex offenders, child killers, lowest of the low. Good luck. It's as simple as that. And I know that there's a lot of people who will stand on the sidelines and say, well, at the end of the day, Green has human rights and Green should be protected and safe in that environment. The truth is, he will be, because if it's so bad for him that he's got to be in solitary to protect him, then that will happen. You know, at the end of the day, it's not like he's going to be sent there to be murdered. It's just his time there is not going to be pleasant, and it shouldn't be pleasant. Charlie's end was horrific. It was torturous. It was disgraceful. And Charlie matters. So if Green has to go through the painful experience of being looked at in a certain way when he's inside and treated a certain way when he's inside, well, he wrote that ticket. He bought that ticket. And now he can repent at leisure, shall we say. And, you know, this is a guy who's meant to be a minister. So at the end of the day, surely a minister's going to have a big G.O.D. on his side, isn't he? Oh, no. Because the big G.O.D. doesn't want people like him anywhere in his particular realm. So it's a whole other god that Green's going to be relying on, isn't it? One that's a lot hotter and a lot farther down than the big G.O.D. Now, when it came down to Green's lawyer, Green's lawyer said that he planned to appeal the verdict and the sentence. But let me tell you, the judge wouldn't take kindly to that. I mean, the defence didn't do a good job in this case because there was not a job to be done. There was not a defence. It's as simple as that. So just crack on an appeal. The only thing that's going to do is waste taxpayers' money, but the result's going to be the same. There's no way they won't uphold that sentence. In fact, some of us might see that that sentence could get extended because I think it's quite lenient. Now we get to the 19th of December 2022, because remember, it's not just he who is at fault here. We've got Latricia Green. She also has done horrible things. So she ended up being rearrested on a superseding indictment charging her with 5 counts of perjury and 2 counts of endangering the welfare of a child. The 5 counts of perjury, well, they regarded that false testimony on the 31st of August 2022. That was when she was in family court and she said that she'd never sent her husband a text message about the foster kids saying that there were no more bruises, we need to heal them. Like she said, no, I didn't do that. I didn't text him. Why would I have lied in court? Well, because you're a liar. It's a really, really simple explanation. I didn't do it. You did do it. No, I didn't do it. I didn't lie in court. You did though, didn't you? I didn't. Why do you think I did? Did you send a message saying no more bruises? We have to let them heal. No. Did you hand your telephone, your mobile telephone, over to the police? Yes. Do we also have your husband's telephone? Yeah, see where you're going with this. It's just that we found the specific text between you and your husband, which literally has those words within them. I don't have any memory of anything aside from what happened 6 minutes ago. So even though it seems like I'm incredibly guilty, what you don't know about me is I have a very odd condition. I have a amnesia condition and I only remember 5 minutes of what happened. You're lying about that too, aren't you? I can't remember. I can't remember because of my condition. Honestly, genuinely, why do these people do it? And also, if that isn't bad enough, there's also a message back to Green that goes on about him slapping their one-year-old daughter in the face because she'd seen a handprint on the little girl's face. So again, she's letting this cruelty play out in her home. She's letting him abuse her own children, their own children, and doing nothing about it. Also, that false testifying that Green had never caused bruising to their own one-year-old child was another thing. That she falsely testified about not knowing her husband had beaten their foster child, Charlie. So she's pretending that that hadn't happened. And she also falsely testified about not knowing that her husband had beaten Charlie's brother. She was also arrested for 2 counts of endangering the welfare of a child. And in this, they alleged that Latricia Green engaged in a course of conduct likely to be injurious to the welfare of their foster children. She also got 1 count for each of the foster children. So that was both Charlie and obviously his brother. When all this was given to her and she was arrested and charged with these, she pled not guilty to all charges. Does anybody out there think that somebody from Latricia's family and friends should have just sat down with her, patted her on the hand and said, Latricia, you're coming across as a duplicitous predator who has been 100% involved in the abuse of your children. And the reason that we know it is because you literally have it in writing on your own phone. It is time to come clean. Because genuinely, it is a waste of police time. It is a waste of the court time. It is a waste of everybody's time for these kind of individuals who just keep peddling the lies when it is obvious to everybody. To everybody, all of you listening to this, the very fact that I've talked about those text messages, that is enough to incriminate her in what she has been involved in this case. And yet still, she's like, oh, no, not guilty. Now, during her trial, she actually testified for over 2 days. And during that, it's the first time actually that Latricia Green acknowledged that she had sent the text messages because, you know, it's really difficult, isn't it? You get into this situation where you're like, no, I didn't do anything. So you're saying that you definitely didn't send these messages. I didn't send any of them. You definitely know there's no evidence of those messages being sent. Absolutely not. There's no evidence at all of them being sent. What about the actual evidence where we have it that you sent them on your phone and your husband's phone? Apart from that evidence that specifically shows you that I specifically wrote those texts, there is no evidence anywhere else. So what you're saying is you didn't write them, aside from the ones that you did write, that we specifically have that are going to be brought into court. I'm really sorry, I've got this condition where I forget everything 5 minutes ago. So I don't know, who am I? That's the only way it could have worked, but it didn't work, did it? Because of course the prosecution come in and they're like, here we go, technological expert. By the way, we've been able to get all of these messages and it clearly shows that you did it. And she was like, oh yeah, I forgot about those. I forgot right up until this point where I specifically am showing my own messages on the phone. I'd forgotten them. I totally forgot them. Now listen, guys, I'm completely on board with the fact that some of us will forget what we texted. At the end of the day, a lot of us send a lot of texts in a day. I can completely be on board with the fact that you would forget that you had texted certain things. You don't forget your partner slapping your baby. You don't forget your partner beating up your foster kids. You don't forget that. Her excuse that she forgot that she texted is irrelevant. What is relevant is that in spite of the abuse, she did nothing about it. So now she has to concede that yes, she did send the messages and yes, she did know about the abuse, but she wanted to make it clear in court that she didn't actually abuse the children herself, but then also says that she didn't know that her husband had bruised them, even though she specifically texted that he had and needed to stop bruising them because otherwise somebody would know about it. Like, it's literally in black and white, simple as that. And yet she's still lying. She's just a massive liar. She's just a liar. This woman is a child abuser and a liar, end of. By intent or by proxy, she is it. Now the prosecution, of course, they come down hard. They said that Latricia and Green both physically abused both of the foster children and also used COVID and other exercises basically to prevent the foster care services from discovering the children's physical injuries. They also alleged that Latricia later intentionally attempted to mislead the family court about her knowledge of and participation in the abuse, basically in an attempt to regain the custody of her own children. So she didn't want to take any responsibility for her own conduct. And she basically wanted to get her kids back, even though she was not a safe person to have those children in the care of her of. Now we get to the 23rd of June, 2023. At this point, she is found guilty. She's 27 at the time. She's found guilty of 4 counts of perjury and 2 misdemeanor counts of endangering the welfare of a child. She was actually acquitted of 1 count of perjury, and that regarded knowing her husband had caused bruising to their 1-year-old child. So the jury's verdict basically reflected that Latricia Green participated in and hid her husband's abuse over the course of several months. That was between the 25th of September 2020 and the 20th of December 2020, which of course ultimately ended with the incredibly sad death of 4-year-old Charlie Garay. Now in August 2023, we get to the sentencing of Latricia Green, and boy, the judge didn't go easy. She got the maximum sentence of 9 1/3 years to 28 years in prison for basically intentionally misleading the authorities. She was also sentenced to 2 1/3 to 7 years for each of the 4 counts of perjury, with the sentences running consecutively. And she actually faces a maximum sentence of 364 days incarceration of each conviction of endangering the welfare of a child. She'll also be required to pay a fine of more than $6,000 to cover what had been paid by the state for the Greens to act as foster parents, because that's what had happened. They'd been paid $2,000 a month to be foster parents, and they betrayed that money. They betrayed their vocation, that betrayed what they were there to do, which was to protect those children. And they had taken blood money, essentially, because they had abused those kids probably from day one, and they were reaping the rewards for doing that financially. Also, it was noted that she wasn't allowed to contact the couple's other foster child for 36 years after her release from detention. The judge, again, just lambasted her for refusing to accept any responsibility for her actions. He was really angry that she showed no remorse for the role in Charlie's death that she played. And the judge said, "I'm pretty sure I remember multiple caseworkers testified in this trial. You said, this is not your fault." Well, by the jury's verdict, they would disagree with you. And then he said, "I am the only one who lost anything. I think Charlie's brother might disagree." Oh, isn't that powerful? "I think Charlie's brother may disagree." That's so poignant, so true. This woman sitting there acting like she's the victim, acting like she's the person who lost anything. She lost her freedom because she was a perpetrator of child abuse. Cause, consequence. Chain of causation, her. She deserves everything that's coming to her, everything. And again, don't get me wrong, women's prisons are no comparison to the prisons that men go to in the States, but they are hardcore if you happen to be a child killer or somebody who contributes to that. So good luck to her. Just as the judge said to her husband, good luck to him, good luck to her. It's not going to be a good experience. And you know what's really breathtaking about these two individuals, these two excuses for human beings? It's the fact that they are not willing to take accountability and responsibility. There is nothing more terrifying than predators and perpetrators who can stand there. All the evidence is in front of them. The text messages, the pictures of the injuries, the obvious autopsy results, which claim and clearly show that those individuals have caused the death or the harm of these children. And still, in spite of all that weight of evidence, they still try to be the victim. It's all about them. They can't take accountability and responsibility because they can't see that what they did was wrong. Simple as that. You can't see that your actions are wrong unless you acknowledge them, unless you accept them. And as far as I'm concerned, the Greens are the kind of people that are never going to be safe around children. Ever. Ever. I'm really glad the judge came down hard. I'm really glad that he spoke his truth with passion and care and sadness, because that little boy, Charlie Garay, and his brother, they both deserve that. They may have had a really difficult start in life. Their life may have been interspersed with things that many of us will never have to face. They may have had to deal with horrific abandonment and attachment issues, but they would have had hope when they were moved to these foster parents. Hope that life was going to change.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
For the better. And instead, only one child survived. And now that child doesn't have to just deal with the abandonment and attachment issues of his primary caregivers. He has to deal with the torture, abuse, trauma, and eventual loss of his own brother at the hands of those who were paid to apparently protect him. And that is absolutely unforgivable. It's also heartbreaking for Charlie Garay's family because, understandably, they have lots of questions. In fact, Samuel Garay Sr., who's his grandfather on the father's side, said he didn't know where to go, he didn't know what to do, he's really struggling to find closure, he has no idea how this all played out. He talked about the fact that there were problems when it came down to finding a sibling place. So therefore, it turned out that he and his brother, whilst they were from Albany County, couldn't have a family take them both. Therefore, they were placed in Green's home outside of the county that they were actually being brought up in. He also talked about the fact that the boy's parents are separated and that his son, the biological father, didn't have custody. And he claimed that the biological family had not even been contacted before the boys were put in foster care. He said, we would definitely have said yes. I wouldn't want my grandkids to go through this or anybody's kids to go through the system, which is just harrowing. In fact, Albany County said it's their procedure to ask parents for relatives who can take the child. However, it's the parents' choice as to which relatives they identify. So what they're saying there is that basically the mother must not have identified the father as somebody that the children should have gone to, or the grandparents. But it's horrific. And his grandfather said, I'll never play with him again, playing with Lego and stuff. That's what I did with him all the time when I saw him. How heartbreaking. They would have taken that little boy. I don't profess to have the answers to the universe. But I'll tell you one thing, and everyone is different and I respect everyone's beliefs, but I fully believe that this, what we're experiencing now, is just a fraction of consciousness, a fraction of what we will experience in our eternity. And for me, I truly believe that Charlie Gray is flying high in bliss, surrounded by love in the arms of those who will forever, eternally protect him. And one day, he will run to his brother. And all of this pain, all of this trauma, all of that which should never have occurred to them will just dissolve as they are reunited. I truly, fully believe that. And this video is 100% dedicated to Charlie and to his five-year-old brother, who one day I hope will read about him, watch the testimony of the judge, watch videos like this and read the comments that I know that all of you are going to leave and know that their lives touched us and that we absolutely demanded justice for his life, his legacy. I hope that his brother is living life with good people who will love him and will make him thrive. That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.